S.B. Kolecki, K-O-L-E-C-K-I, Imperial War Museum, accession number 11624/2, reel 1.
Mr. Kolecki, reel 1. Could you tell me, first of all, where you were born, please?
Well, I was born in Lwów, in southeast of Poland. Unfortunately, now this town, a beautiful town, belongs to Soviet Union, actually to Ukrainian.
What did your father do for a living? What did your father do for a living?
My father was born in central of Poland, in Radom. And my mother was born in Nowogródek.
What was your father's job?
He was working at Ministry of War before the S war start. He was about 6 years in Warsaw. And he have about 20 people under his direction, mostly women who just been typing what is necessary for ministry.
Did you go to school in Lwów?
No, we evacuated from Lwów just when the first war started. And we went to Radom, and after I went with my parents, which actually went to near Krakow, and from that, when war is finished, we went to the north of Poland, to Grodno, where my father got a job as a clerk in the city of Grodno. Yeah.
How did you come to be in the army?
Well, I was called up for reserve Polish army exercises on the 15th of August, 1939, to join the 1st Fusilier Highlander unit at Nowy Sącz in the south of Poland. War with Germany started on the 1st of September at 4:30. This part of the war was fought alone because our allies, France and Great Britain, were not prepared for war. On the 17th of September, the Russian helped Germany, and that was the end.
What do you remember about the war personally, the war with Germany?
Well, what I mostly remember that when I joined my unit, we've been doing defense line in part of Poland, in the south of Poland, digging trenches and so, putting mines on different place, and being busy prepare for the war.
What do you remember about the German attack? Were you bombed and attacked by the Germans personally?
Well, when German attack, I just remember that a lot German Luftwaffe was flying and putting some bombs around the territory in Poland, and villages, and people was rushing, shouting the fire, fire, and that was very bad memory for me, because I never thought that they start war with civilian people. I thought they'd be fighting with us. But no, they've been killing so many civilian people that goodness knows how many died during the war. The war was short. as I say, but it was a lot of damage to the towns, to the civilian people, to villages, to the shooting sometimes individual on a field. And they have been very cruel, those pilots from German Luftwaffe.
What kind of a unit was your own army unit? Can you describe your own unit?
Well, this is a... My unit was a Polish 1st Highlander Fusilier unit. And that's, we have our colonel, which is commanding officer of the all the part of this unit, and then we don't do much after when we've been treated by aeroplane. We withdraw gradually because we haven't anything to fire the German Panzer Division, actually. General Maciek was fighting them in the south of Poland. He have some tanks, he have some guns, and whatever Polish Air Force was, helped them. So he was actually fighting. We've been withdrawing. What we really been very anxious about the Ukrainian, which actually attack Polish soldiers, and then someone been killed by them.
Were these Ukrainian civilians?
Ukrainian, yes. They have. They thought that the German come and make them free from Polish occupation. Similarly, I remember, and they built big gate with the flags, and Captain Templer was on the front in a Polish Fiat, and we been in a lorry behind with machine gun and grenade, and we see the captain stop, and we have helmet very like German one. So the Ukrainian thought that was a German unit coming. And they say, "Chwała wam." They put hands up, and...
What does it mean?
That means, we respect you, we welcome you. So our captain open fire, and shoot straight away with that leader of that band. We come from the lorry, and it was a small trench, and we start shooting at them. They ran away. I remember distinctly, because when they ran away, we went after them, and I have my rifle in my hands, and I see one of the chap rushing through the maize. You see, the field of maize were there. So I get my rifle, and suddenly the woman come on her knee and beg me and say, "Soldier, don't shoot. This is my son." So I don't shoot. That what distinctly remember. And sometimes, once I remember was a lone soldier with no helmet, nothing. And then we stopped him and asked where he is going. He said to us that he lost his unit. He don't know, but he was Ukrainian.
So
that's one sergeant was saying, "We better execute him, he is just making mess here around, telling where we are and so and so." But our captain say, "No, we give him to the police station." So we just take him in a lorry, take them to police station there. they look after him. That's two accidents, and when 17th of September the Russians start invasion and come to Poland, we just manage, we've been in the south already, we just manage escape to from Polish border to Hungary.
So these Ukrainians were armed with rifles, were they?
Yes, with rifles, with grenades, everything. They've been ready to fight us.
Did they have uniforms?
No. No uniforms at all. They've been like, it looks to me like a criminals.
Like a guerrilla force?
Like a guerrilla, yes.
And which area was this? What was the name of the place?
It was in south of Jarosław. That was town in south of Poland. That was some kind of village, I remember.
Were there many of these Ukrainian guerrillas?
It was a lot of them there. Lviv, my town when I was born, have mostly Polish population, but territory around Lviv, full of Ukraine.
Did you personally fight against the German troops in September?
We have no chance to fight. When we've been bombed out, there's about few hundred of us marched through the night and went before the we crossed the border, we've been forced to give our ammunition, our guns, everything to the Hungarian guards. So we come with uniform, Polish uniform, but nothing, no arms with us.
How were you treated in Hungary?
Well, at the beginning was all right for about a couple of weeks. We've been on a farm. But later on...
You were working on a farm?
No, free. We've been going to town, buying some grapes, speaking as much as we can with Hungarian people, who's been very kind, actually, to us. And then after they say, you cannot go like that, you must come with us. And they took us to town, Komarom, to the fortress called Igmanteret. And in that fortress, I've been from September 39 till about February 1940. Sleep on a cement, just little straw. Not much. It was cold, really. No heating. But our government in France been paying us every 10 days in Hungarian money. So we can manage to get some cigarettes and something like that. But German, which was a pro-German, actually, commanding officer of that fortress, every morning call us and shout the name, we must answer that everybody is here. And after we parade before him, and that's all.
So how did you get out of Hungary?
Well, I make contact with the agent from Budapest. He said, I cannot go to Komárom, his fortress. They maybe welcome me inside, but they don't let me go out. So better. I like to ask you if you can measure the neck, measure the shoes for soldiers. And we supply shirts, civilian clothes, to you in a special place. I say, all right. So when I come to camp, I ask several questions and so and so. But the other was negative, because soldier was not very keen, do not believe, you see, so much. They think they maybe war was finished with Poland, they finished in Hungary, you see, as a prisoner, really, in that fortress. But it was not so. So when in February 1940, we went to the pub and have a drink, boar, they called it. It's a hot wine with sugar. They called them boar. And we have a drink. And suddenly I noticed that every so often the soldier come out, and I'm just going out, I come back. And it was smaller and smaller. And I see the guard was looking around what happened. So I just say, I'll be in the back in a minute, and come out and went to the fence. The owner of the pub give me lift. I jump over the fence and run to the address which I had in my pocket. Then I changed my uniform for civilian clothes, and I was ready to go further.
What did you do next?
Pardon?
What did you do next?
Well, next, actually, we've been going, that was a winter, quite hard one. And they use us in a station to clear the snow from the station, railway station, and they use it as well cleaning aerodrome for aeroplanes. When they do for this job, I managed to run off from the column and make a friend with the people there, Hungarian, and explain what happened. And they say, don't worry, we buy you tickets to Budapest. My son is going every day in the morning to school there. They bought tickets for me, and I went with them to the station, and by train come to Budapest, to the street called Váci utca, where was our embassy there. And then I report myself, and I got tickets to Yugoslavia, and then from Yugoslavia to Italy and France, and landed in about the same month, in February, in France, south of France, in Modena. Then I actually report myself to the medical test, and after they find me all right, I was ready to join the Polish Highlander Brigade, which really was ready to go to help other country, actually Finland. But the Finland was nearly finished, so they changed their mind and sent us to Norway. So I went to Kotkedal. Near Kotkedal was a place for all Polish people coming.
Which place is this?
Kotkedal, in central, in north of France. It's like a camp, you see. And we've been... There was not much place, so we sleep in a farm around. And then after we've been ready by, I think we landed in Norway on a ship of Mexico, I remember, that was the name of the ship.
Mexico?
Mexico.
A French ship?
That was French ship, yes. There was three ships,
French. Was it a warship?
That was a transfer for the war, for military use.
A transport?
Transport, yes. And then...
So, you were...
We landed 7th of May, 1940, at Harstad, in Norway. We fight at Ankenes, Bayshort, and Narvik. From here, we were evacuated by the British Home Fleet to the French harbour of Brest.
What do you remember about the fighting in Norway yourself?
Well, I remember this was very cold that time. We don't have supply for winter. We have some pelerin likes, which is nuisance. I met some French soldier from the French army. They all have adapted to the cold winter and so and so, but we don't.
You didn't have warm clothing?
We just have a ordinary clothes, army uniform. And it was quite difficult. We've been going up the hills on the Ankenes, and that was a fight there with the, which actually Germany ran away from us at that time. They've been shooting, but they've been running away. They don't give opposition to us. Ankenes, Bayshort. The stronger opposition was farther, which we don't go too far away. The French Legion went there. They've been adopted well, you see, with clothes and so on, good boots. The French organization was very bad because they sent ships with perhaps guns, and the ammunition was in another ship to that guns. So what they use? Or vice versa. So then, when 28th of May, when after a strong artillery from the British Navy bombarded Narvik and the hills around, we took it Narvik.
Did you go into Narvik?
I was, yes. And then soon after that...
When you went into Narvik, did you see any Norwegian civilians?
Yes, I seen Norwegian people. And I seen the British soldier there as well. That time I remember was... German Luftwaffe come, Stuka, they called them, and start bombardment. The Narvik was burning, you see. We don't have any defense for it, actually.
What was your unit armed with? Did you just have rifles?
We have just rifle and machine guns, that's all.
But no anti-aircraft guns?
We don't have any aircraft. I seen just one aircraft during all these 5 weeks in Norway. That one which actually can manage to land on the sea.
Seaplane?
Yes. One only. That was all the time German.
But did you have any anti-aircraft guns with you?
No. There's just a special unit, which I find out, that was a British unit. When we come, I see the four British soldiers has been killed. And I look, and that was a gun, and I look nearer and I find the label, made in Poland, Starachowice. That was the place where they're making those things. So I understand that British soldier been getting some equipment from Poland before the war, because they haven't any for themselves. And that was, I think myself, then what we going to fight with that bayonet or rifle, and I think it's hopeless. Anyway, we, after 5 weeks, we, by order of Commander General Sikorsky, because our Polish commander was the General Szyszko Bohusz that time, and we were evacuated by the British Home Fleet to the French harbor of Brest. I was very comfortable in that ship, that people been serving us with the lunch, supper, you can have a drink, you can this. It was very comfortable ship, was Ormond that time. And on the 20th of June, by order of General Sikorsky, we were evacuated to the England, landing at Plymouth, later transferring to train for our eventual destination, Scotland. We had 4 years training on modern equipment, ready for the invasion of continent. Only 300 soldiers from my brigade reached Great Britain. The rest decided to stay in France. Those that remained in France were mostly coal miners from Normandy. That was actually 2 wars I have. 2 wars, one in Poland, one in Norway. Now, we come to the last one. The invasion of Europe by the Polish 1st Armored Division was under the command of General S. Maciek, famous for his success against the Germans in the south of Poland. The 1st Polish Armored Division consisted of 885 officers, 15,210 men, 381 tanks, 470 pieces of artillery, and 4,050 different kinds of vehicles. After landing on the beaches of Normandy at Aromanche on the 1st August 1944, we were incorporated into the 2nd Canadian Corps under the command of General Simpson.
You landed in Normandy on the 1st of August. Did you say?
Yes.
Which, you said your division was the 1st Armored Division. Do you remember what brigade you were in?
Well, I was in 3rd Infantry Brigade.
The 1st Infantry Brigade?
Yes.
And
I come back to my unit, which is Polish Highlander unit, with the same one which I start war with Germany in Poland.
So it was called the Polish Highland Regiment?
Yes, that's where I was.
And what rank did you have when
I
you
was
went to Normandy?
That time I was only corporal. That's it.
Do you remember the name of your sergeant who was in charge?
I have only